Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to the channel. It is yours truly, Crystal Leandra. Today is a Ghost Girl Diaries podcast for those of you that are brave enough to join the circle. Today's going to be a different podcast because I feel like today's going to be a life update. And I don't usually do life updates on my podcast. So I don't really know why I'm being drawn to do this today. And I've been putting it off. I know that this is a long time coming, like it needed to happen for a while now. And I don't know what took me so long to get here and get to this point, to be confident to talk to you, but let's talk about it. I want to back it up and talk about last summer. So summer of 2023, I started to notice I was, experiencing some changes in my life. And I think that I was in starting that final chapter of my death and rebirth. And what triggered it was, you know, I was doing goth modeling for makeup companies. I still work with them. I still work with the wig companies. And I was also doing goth fashion modeling for some fashion companies. And I started to notice that some of the stuff that the companies were requesting of me as far as like fashion goes and style, and I'm doing my own photo shoots at home, obviously. I just started to notice that some of the requests that they had were getting a little bit more risque over time. And it's no secret that, you know, the goth community is known for girls dressing provocative. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's girls owning their sexuality. And, you know, although I've always identified as like alt and goth, I didn't know what side I was going to teeter-totter on that, because I knew that it, at some point it was going to come to a point where I was going to have to either go with the flow of that community and also partake in it, or kind of go the opposite direction. And the companies that I was working with, they were like, you know, people love your image on the goth side, and they were like, we want to pay for you to get tattoos, essentially is what they said. And there was some sort of weird feeling I had flush over me, because first of all, I don't have any tattoos, and it felt pressure. It felt a little bit like pressure. Like, I feel like if I personally want to get a tattoo for myself, that's like a separate issue, rather than feeling like I'm confined to it through a company. I also had this weird feeling of like, okay, if they pay for me to get tattoos, am I in debt to them, sort of thing, you know? And I feel like if I were younger, a younger version of myself may have taken up that opportunity, but I'm not younger and I'm definitely wiser. And I had to kind of just sit with my feels for a minute and see how I felt about that. And I had to really kind of think. In the summer, I started turning down modeling jobs, and I was really shocked by that, because that's definitely a pretty good piece of chunk of income for me, is the modeling jobs. And I just knew that I thought at the time I was going through some changes, and I wasn't quite sure what that meant. And I was still kind of trying to figure out what was changing for me and what direction I needed to go in. I didn't know. And I just knew that to start out with, I needed to stop the modeling and take that out of the equation, even though it was good money, so that I could reassess and reanalyze sort of what was going on within. Kind of being responsible, knowing, hey, I've been through a lot. Maybe I'm going through another session of healing or something. I don't know. I started having deep conversations with, you know, I have a handful of really good people in my life. Kat is included. And I started sort of vocalizing, hey, I don't know if this is like healing again from my mom and everything I've been through the last couple of years with my parents. But I have this weird feeling that like my fashion and style is about to shift. And I didn't really get Kat, you know, gave me a good reaction. Kat was like, I saw this coming a mile away. She was like, you've been a cocoon, you know, like a little caterpillar in a cocoon. And she's like, I just knew you were about to transform. She's like, I saw this coming a mile away. But I didn't get the best reaction out of other close people in my life, and their reaction was basically, whoa, before you quit goth fashion and modeling, you know, maybe you're going through basically another, like, you know, mental crisis. And, you know, it, at first I was like, oh, okay, maybe that is what's happening, you know, but like looking back now, I find that was like very offensive because it wasn't a mental crisis. It was just the road of healing and changing and evolving. And I just didn't know at the time that that was sort of what was happening. So June, July was when I really wanted to start this, what I would call like my final transformation, but I kind of stopped myself from doing it because, like, at that time, because everyone was like, hold on, make sure what you're going through isn't like a phase and make sure like this is really how you feel. So I was like, okay, I guess like for a couple of months, I'll just feel it out and see how it goes and where it's going from there. I think that the initial reaction from everyone on like the negative side was, you're making a lot of money from goth makeup and fashion. Why would you not want to identify as that anymore? And I guess my thought was like, goth is a lifestyle. It's not necessarily something you have to visually see from the outside. I'm in love with the goth culture. I'm in love with my goth life that I've lived for many, many years. This isn't some like spiritual thing like Kat Von D. Like, I'm not saying, oh, Jesus is in my house now, I have to burn my tarot cards. No, I very much still have all of my tarot cards. But it was more of like, I was coming out of the darkness from my parents' death. And that's the only way I can really describe it. It was, you know, my house has been decorated in Halloween decor in every single room. Like, my kitchen is was Beetlejuice themed. I had a Halloween tree. I had, for years, I've had red and black and skull living room, like skulls and crossbones and stuff like that. I have these beautiful ornate, hand painted huge canvases from like India, from an artist that did these beautiful skull, ornate skull. They're very expensive, beautiful. You know, so just my whole house, I'm sitting in my studio. It was a combination of like Beetlejuice and horror and, you know, paranormal, obviously, all under the sun. And I just woke up one day and I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. There was something about the Halloween decor and having to get up and look at it every day that felt like it was pulling me backwards rather than putting me forwards. And I was trying to express that to everybody in my life, and they thought I was like having a mental crisis. You know, here's Crystal. She's been in Emotionless in White music video, goth queen, pumpkin queen. And now she says she's like not goth anymore. And it wasn't that I was saying that. It was that I was saying, I think my style is changing and evolving. What I'm using for like adjectives to describe what my style, what I was looking at, was I like the old money style. I like the goth corp style, the minimalist style. And I was just changing. I really love Laura Blair. If you guys know who she is, she has like a million followers, I think. She's out of, I think, London, but she has like this wicked, amazing, elegant, classy, a lot of dark, all black, you know, clothes. And I was like, that's how I want to dress. And she uses statement pieces with like hats and gloves and glasses, you know, and jackets and trench coats and beautiful ornate leather boots. And I don't know, it was like, I just felt like I had an upgrade in my style, where, you know, I love the goth culture and how I've been dressing, but I was looking at my closet for months and I was like, it was not a reflection of who I felt like I was on the inside. And I prolonged this change that I felt like I knew I needed within me, because everyone around me kept saying that it was just like a temporary phase that I was going through, and it turned out to not be a temporary phase. Elvira. So I got to work with Elvira in September. If you got to see that little mini video that I posted on my YouTube channel, I think she's psychic, honestly, because I didn't express any of this with her. So obviously it's June, July, I'm feeling that something's changing within me. Fast forward now, we're in September. I'm still feeling these changes. Except now it's gotten me in a place, you know, June, July, August, September, 4 months of sitting in energy where I knew change was inevitable. And I'm sitting in my house and I'm just dreading waking up every day because I don't want to see the Halloween decor. I have, you know, all of my TMI, all of my underwear and bras are black and goth and my pajamas are goth in Halloween, and you know, it was just like encompassing. Now I feel like I'm drowning in it, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, I just don't know what to do. So I get on, I had this like meeting with Elvira, and it had gotten postponed a couple of times, and I was kind of glad that it kept getting postponed. I was working on with a, you know, giving her advice on a collaboration, and I was just happy it got postponed, because I was like, oh my God, I'm getting ready to like meet the queen of darkness. You know what I mean? Like, she identifies as, she's this socialite, this gothic queen icon. She's been my icon since I was a child, and I'm gonna meet her, and I'm in this like funky energy where I like feel like I've lost sense of who I am. And I was really kind of dreading the interview, to be honest, because she was going to ask me questions on advice, and I was going to ask her questions, and it was supposed to be this collaboration. And we get on the call, and almost immediately, you know, you guys saw some clips of it. I didn't share the whole thing because I just want to keep some of it to myself. It felt like it was a very personal experience, and I didn't mind sharing a few things with you guys, but I wanted to keep some of it to myself. So in the call, I was asking her, how do you separate your life from, well, you know, Elvira to Cassandra, you know? And for me, it was such a statement question, because that's what I was going through at the time. I was like, I don't want to quit paranormal, you know, like Ghost Girl Diaries is still my ultimate goal in life, is to get that series signed, you know, like, or film on YouTube. But you know, now I'm having almost like an identity crisis of like, the person I'm seeing in the mirror is not reflecting back to who I'm feeling like I am inside. And the biggest way that I could describe it is like, I had been carrying around a lot of trauma and baggage from my parents' death and the way my mom was killed. And I didn't feel the need to carry the baggage around anymore. I knew that I was getting ready to start a new chapter in my life, and I knew that I couldn't take any of the old baggage with me. Everything from my previous self had to die along with my mom, and I couldn't take in regret, I couldn't take in damage, I couldn't take in trauma, I couldn't take in sadness, I couldn't take in darkness. And if that meant leaving my entire identity behind, I was ready to do that. I get on this call with Elvira, and Elvira is like, oh yeah, you know, she's like, I used to live this gothic lifestyle. She's like, I had this Victorian mansion, and every room was pitch black, and everything was Halloween. And I, you know, remember, I'm eating every word from her, as she's my ultimate idol. I'm her biggest fan. I've loved her since youth. She, in my opinion, created me, you know, like, she did commentary on spooky shows. That's what created my paranormal side. And she did this high fashion and makeup, and that's what created my cosmetology side. And so everything she's saying, I'm going to eat it up. And she was like, you know, I woke up one day and I said, I can't do this anymore. She's like, I had this beautiful Victorian mansion and gothic everything. She's like, I even had gothic cars and Cadillacs. And she was like, I woke up and said, I can't do it anymore. She goes, I knew that I'd pushed it too far, to the point where I had to have separation, and I had to have an energy exchange where this is my haunted, spooky life and this isn't. And she goes, then I became a mom, and she goes, I had to separate it even more because I wanted my child to, you know, have as normal of a childhood as possible, considering she was famous. And I'm looking at her as she's talking to me, and I feel like she can hear me. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like she can hear my thoughts. And I actually was getting like choked up in the interview, because I was like, how does she know what I'm going through? And like, I didn't mention this. Of course, I'm not going to talk with Elvira about that. You know what I mean? Like, it was supposed to be a professional chat. So I think she intuitively knew, and that's how she tuned into me so easily. And, you know, we kept talking, and she was like, yeah, it's crazy. Cause she's like, in the 80s, when I was into my goth side, she's like, it was like something you just did when you like went out on a Saturday night, you dressed up as goth and went to the goth club. She's like, now it's just acceptable, like all day, every day. And we were kind of talking and making jokes. And I said, well, yeah, it takes a lot of work to dress up as goth. And, that's when she made the joke, like, tell me about it, sister, you know? But from there, she said, don't burn yourself out. And that's where her intuition kicked in again. She was like, you know, to become Elvira takes hours. you know? And she's like, to do goth makeup, to be goth takes hours. And she was like, you have to have a healthy balance. She was like, if you push it too far and you really think that you can dress up like that every day, you're going to exhaust yourself to the point of burnout. And you're going to end up doing the complete opposite, where you hate it and you hate the culture. And it was like so weird, because it was like someone was putting my feelings into words. And how, when she doesn't know me, if it's the first time I met her, you know, like, how does she know what I'm thinking? This is what I've been trying to say. And she just put it into words. And she was like, you know, when I was younger, I let go of a lot of opportunities because I was like all goth, all Halloween, all dark, all the time. And she's like, I missed out on a lot of opportunities. So if I could give any sort of advice, it would be find balance. Find balance, whatever that is, find balance. She goes, you don't have to be goth 24/7 to identify as goth and dark. And I was like, oh my God, this is the answer I've been looking for since I haven't been feeling right since June or July. I was waking up every day and I was like, I don't want to wear, you know, I'm doing social media, I'm doing makeup looks for you guys every day on TikTok. What if I don't want to wear black makeup every day and heavy makeup all the time? That doesn't mean I don't love it. That doesn't mean I'm not going to wear it anymore. Of course I am. But maybe I don't want to do it every day. Maybe today I'm feeling happy and bubbly and I want to express myself in a different way. And I was like, am I living up to expectations for myself, or am I living up to expectations for my fans and followers? And I was like, I just got myself in trouble. I just got myself in trouble. And I started trying to figure out what to do because I didn't know. I want to still do makeup and fashion online, you know what I mean? But maybe I don't want to be gothic every day. And the worst part was, is with that in question, my entire closet, and I've done closet tours, if you guys are OG fans on here, my entire closet is like 98% black and very goth. I mean, I'm talking Killstar clothes, you know, like, I mean, I have a ton of clothes from Killstar, but that vibe of like witchy aesthetic and, you know, holes and ripped and stripes like Beetlejuice. Like, that's my whole closet. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Because if I decide this isn't for me every day, I'm going to have to do like an overhaul of my entire closet. And I will hardly have minimal things to wear. You know what I mean? I didn't get rid of everything, obviously. This aesthetic of elegance and maturity. And I was like, I'm in love. I'm in love. The hats, the hair is perfectly placed, you know, headbands, old money type of vibes. And I was like, okay, I've figured out what I want to do. So now we need to figure out the rest. So in October/November, I started going through my closet and I started putting a giant pile of items aside that I'm going to sell on my teleport shop. You can find that at crystalleandra.com. Teleport is like Depop, except it's more like if Depop and TikTok had a baby. That's what Teleport is. And if you go to the my link in my on my website, you can get like free $15 or $25 to spend through my link. I'm going to start uploading that. So I went through my purses. I went through my shoes. I'm not getting rid of everything, you know, but like the aesthetic is like, I'm not going to carry around a coffin purse anymore. It doesn't match me. So I packed up all of my Killstar purses. I packed up all of my coffin style purses. I'm looking at more minimalistic fashion. I don't want items that say Ouija on it. I don't want to wear items that, you know, print, you know, like print from like Killstar. I don't want that kind of stuff anymore. I want to look sophisticated. And so I kept a lot of stuff, but just packed it away. I got rid of a lot of stuff and I was left with probably like 10% of a closet. So I was able to keep out minimalist shirts, minimal, you know, skirts, like leather skirts is what I'm kind of leaning towards. PU leather, that kind of thing. Plaids, really like plaids. And everything else, I was like, it's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to be sold or it's got to go. And I was worried because I started talking with some of the brands that I work with. There's some brands I'm just not going to be able to work with anymore because they are the similar vibe to like Killstar. Some brands I love, like Lively Ghosts. I love Lively Ghosts. I love, there's another one that I just, Fox Blood, love Fox Blood stuff. So I'm still continuing to follow them. But I don't, I'm looking at my fashion sense completely changing. And I knew that my makeup was going to start changing, and like a modern take on modern vintage makeup. I've really felt inspired by Marilyn Monroe's makeup lately. I'm wearing half a lash like she did. Just the dark makeup does not represent me at this moment. Does that mean I'm not going to do goth ever again? No, that's not true. But I did not pack up my Demonias. My Demonia Camel 300s are my absolute favorite boot. Like that sucker isn't going anywhere, you know, but it just, there was a shift. There was a shift. And it just felt like, you know, the last 2 years, I really felt like I was in my dark feminine energy because of all of the trauma that I was trying to heal from. I've been very, very vulnerable with you guys on that. And it just felt like all of the clouds had lifted over the summer, and I just knew that I had reached the end of my healing cycle. Now, does that mean I'm healed from my mom's death? No, no, I'm not. I don't think I'll ever be. You know, when you take something into consideration, like someone being murdered, someone being intentionally unalived, you know, I suffered from a lot of guilt from thinking I could save her, thinking I didn't do enough. I had nightmares where I would, it's like PTSD, where I'd be like, oh, I should have done this, or I could have done that. I could have done this differently. I could have saved her this way. So it's almost like survivor's guilt in a way that I had to go through with therapy. You know, also I spent $100,000 trying to sue the hospital and failed miserably. And in my heart of hearts, I truly, truly believe that my mother was killed by a serial killer. I truly believe that my mother was not her first victim, nor will she be her last victim. And she is still up there murdering other patients. I mean, my mother was purposely injected with a medication that caused her to go into anaphylactic shock. And I was on FaceTime when it happened. So I saw it happen. There was a witness. And you know what's weird is my mom had a feeling she was going to do that because she kept calling her nurse Hatchet. And just as a refresher, the nurse was removed from patient care because I found her, the nurse, stealing my mother's narcotics after her amputation surgery. And so she'd already gotten in trouble, and then she wasn't supposed to be in my mom's room. She wasn't supposed to have medication. She wasn't supposed to be touching my mother's IV. She's a serial killer. She is the real life Nurse Hatchet. And the guilt that I also will carry around for the rest of my life is knowing that I couldn't stop her. Knowing that she is still in that hospital. There is a serial killer on the loose right now in Las Vegas, murdering other patients, and nobody did anything about it. I tried to go to the news and media, nobody did anything about it. I tried to report her. I was banging on every door in that hospital, and everybody turned a blind eye. And, you know, the trauma that I endured isn't just my mom's death and the way she died. It was the entire series of events that unfolded. And then my dad died right after because he couldn't handle the stress. And so it was a lot. There's just a lot that was going on. And I had a lot that I had to un-F the last couple of years. So when I say that I'm in my light feminine energy and I've come out of my dark feminine energy, and I say I've healed, I'm not over it. I'll never be over it. I'll never be okay. And the only way that I can put it to rest is to recognize that the old version of myself died with my mother that day, and she will not be coming back because a lot of me died the same day my mother died. I wouldn't have reacted the same way if she would have had a natural death. Even if she would have died in surgery, I wouldn't have reacted this way. It was all of the, and you know, then there was more trauma. They lost my mother's body because they were trying to hide her, because I requested my mother to have an autopsy to see what they injected her with. And they, you, it post-mortem, you can only have an autopsy with a certain amount of hours. So my mother's body went missing for 3 days. That traumatized me. I mean, it just kept going on and on. So I had a lot of things I had to mentally undo. Then when they finally found my mother's body, my mother did not want a viewing, but I requested a viewing against her wishes because I wanted to make sure it was her. I didn't want them to just put through, you know, some random person, because my mother requested to be cremated. That's very common in Indigenous, is ashes and ashes and dust to dust. And I wanted to make sure it was her. And then I felt like I was going against her wishes, having a viewing, because I wanted to make sure it was her. You know, it was a lot, guys. Like, you don't realize how deep it went with my healing. And most people would have shoved it under the rug. You know, I've met a lot of survivors, of people that survived murders and deaths. And there's three kinds of people. There's people like me, which are very rare, who've decided to heal through it, as painful as it is. The most common is people that just shove it under the rug. They're like, oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And no, that's not true. Like, you're not fine either. You're just saying that so that you don't have to deal with the trauma. And then the third type of person is trying to have like a pissing contest with, your mom's death wasn't as bad as my mom's murder type of thing. And I just don't think that trauma like that can be compared. You know, like, all of it's bad. Although the general public doesn't understand what it means to have a loved one be murdered and intentionally unalived, because oftentimes if people find out how my mom died, they'll say, oh, I know what it feels like to lose a family member. My grandma died of old age. That is not comparing in any capacity to what I experienced with her death. But I understand that that's how the human mind can only vaguely put it into comparison, what I went through, and they're trying to understand me. And they never, and honestly, I don't want people to understand what I went through. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want anyone on this planet to ever experience what I had to go through. I wouldn't even wish it on my worst enemy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want anyone to ever feel the pain I went through. The lessons in this that I do want to share, though, are if I can go through such dark, dark times and survive and come out on the other side, you can get through anything, because I can promise you that 98% of you will never experience what I had to go through. So use me as a lesson. Whatever it is you're going through in your life, you can get through it. I really believe that the power of the mind is, I don't think we give ourselves enough credit as humans. I think that we incarnate and we forget everything and we don't realize how powerful we are. I know the 3D is tough because we're stuck to this planet and we're not our, you know, high spiritual being selves on the other side. But that's why we incarnate here, is to, you know, not only experience the expressions of love, because that's the highest vibrational energy that you can experience here, but also, you know, the time that it takes to create and manifest things, because the 3D world is so difficult. That's why we're here, is to, because on the other side, you can, if you want a house, you got a house like that. You think it, you have it. You don't have to do any work there. You know, here you have to work for everything you want. And not only that, we've incarnated at a time where the planet's at such a low vibrational energy, where you have all these horrible wars going on and these deaths and these bombings and explosions and senseless life is being lost all over. We have the Middle East and we have, you know, the Russia and the Ukraine thing happening. Plus, we have our own issues here at home in the United States, right? Everyone's broke right now. Everybody's poor. We're all struggling to make ends meet. And, you know, rent is excruciatingly painful and it's not matching with the wages. And we're still just sort of trotting along. So we're these high vibrational beings that have encountered coming to this planet at this time. And the ones of us that are connected and that are spiritual and high vibrational from the other side, we are trying to elevate the consciousness of the planet to get out of this darkness that's happening. And that means you're a lot more powerful than you think you are. And I think we all need to give ourselves more credit. And I mean, sure, use me as an example for what I went through with my mother and how I overcame that, because I really did not think I was going to survive her death. You know, that was what sort of started my major spiritual awakening, having my connection to the other side, because I was choosing to hit the eject button and go home is what I was doing. And I was very serious about it. I didn't care who was affected here on this planet. I was ready to hit the eject button and go because I just did not know how I was going to heal through the trauma of the way she died. And I told you my guides, my spirit team panicked because my mom was not supposed to die that way. And you're not supposed to kill each other here. You're not supposed to unalive one another. And they didn't know how I was going to get through it either. They had a lot of faith and hope in me, but if they wouldn't have done such a divine intervention and, you know, forced me to have these almost astral projections where I was returning home on a nightly basis and experiencing the other side, I wouldn't have remembered who I was and remembered why I came here in the first place. Just because my mother had such a horrible traumatic death doesn't mean I needed to hit the eject button. I still had business to finish here. And I was here to also deliver that message, I think, to you guys. I felt like I couldn't hold it in. I needed to share what I was experiencing with the other side. So the biggest lesson and takeaway is just remember that you're a lot more powerful than you think you are. And it's going back to what I've been saying of like creating your reality, right? Like, you get to choose the reality that you're in. If you're not in a comfortable reality or happy reality that you're in right now, stop looking back at where you came from and start looking at where you're going. And that's sort of where I reinvented myself personally recently is, if I love Laura Blair and I'm obsessed with her style, how do I start becoming her? How do I become her? How do I become a version of her? Of course, with my own little twists and turns, like I still want to incorporate harnesses. I also love Sammy, the blogger from UK. I talk about her on my social media a lot. She incorporates lace and latex and harnesses, but also designer handbags, like, and designer shoes. There, that's me. You know what I mean? Like, that's me in a box. That's exactly where I'm going. How do I get to the point where I can own designer handbags and designer shoes and have this like chic, elegant, minimalistic, but yet high fashion self that I want to become? I stopped looking at the trauma that I had went through and who I was and started looking at the future and started becoming my future self. And you sort of merge with the future version of yourself. Once again, going back to creating your own reality. It's sort of like health too. I believe that in a sense with health, like, of course I believe in like Western medicine and modern medicine, but I also believe in the power of the mind. And, you know, I have a lot of people, you guys, that will message me and say, oh my God, like your podcast changed my life. Like listening to you changed my life. I realized, you know, how motivational you were for me to, you know, enhance and incorporate those things into my life. And some people will tell me that they have chronic illnesses. Now, I'm not sitting here saying you should stop your chemotherapy treatments, right? I'm not saying that. I'm not a doctor. I'm not here to prescribe you, but I'm just saying the power of the mind and using Earth's natural resources, I don't think we realize how powerful we are as beings, as humans. And I do believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe in, you know, we hear it every day, even with doctors, like, oh, I don't know where her cancer treatment went. You know, her cancer just disappeared overnight because she started eating organic and she started doing cryotherapy and all this other stuff and getting fresh air and rooting to the earth. And she cut out gluten and dairy and all the stuff that's like got chemically processed treatments. I'm just saying, don't forget that the power is also in your hands. If, you know, and I'm saying this for everyone who's out there, who's messaging me saying that you have this chronic illness and you wish you could do more with yourself. Don't limit yourself by what the doctors have told you. The doctors have said, oh, I can't do this because I have that. I would open up your mind and say, I am an endless being and I'm capable of anything, including healing myself. I started diving deeper into Bashar too. I'm really into Bashar. He was here in Vegas and I missed him. I didn't realize he was here on 11/11. But Bashar says, he just has a lot of interesting insight where he says that, you know, let's say you want to go to a healer, you know, like we have all these famous healers. You could even consider like the Pope a healer, whether you're Catholic or not, like he's in a healing position. And there'll be people that go to these healers in different countries in South America, and they'll wait in line for days to see this healer. Bashar said, the healer doesn't heal you. But okay, if that's the case, how do these people with chronic illnesses walk away from these healers saying they're healed? They no longer have you know, cancer, all this stuff. Like their back is miraculously healed overnight. Bashar said it's because the healer teaches you to get on his high vibrational plane. When you are in a healer's presence, you believe they will heal you. So you have elevated yourself to his plane of existence. And now that healer has healed you. No, he hasn't. You've healed yourself because you believe that he can heal you, which in turn you believe you can heal yourself. So I'm just putting that out there because I find it fascinating, because it matches with what my guides say when I'm on the other side. I'm still experiencing going to the other side every other night. It's very frequent, except I'm rested now to the point where I understand how it feels to be back in my body, and I don't get as tired and lethargic. Like in the beginning, it was rough. Like I'm rubbing I feel like my back hurts because I remember it in the beginning when I was traveling to the other side nightly after my mom died. I felt like I wasn't sleeping. I felt like I was up all night on the other side, and I got back to my body and then I was up again. And it, like, I was sleeping clearly, like my body was resting, but I had to get used to that feeling, and finally I'm there. And I think that also kind of circles back around with where I was in June and July of this year, which I felt like rest. I felt rested and I felt at peace for the first time in 2 years. I felt like mentally I was at peace. I wasn't having PTSD and traumas and nightmares anymore. I wasn't having restless nights where I would just get, you know, all these full of emotions and depression and, you know, suicidal ideologies. And I just felt like a major shift took place, and I just felt like I was at peace. And if I am at peace with my mother, and I'm at peace with my father, and I'm at peace with what happened, I now have to visually see that in my outer world, which is my house, which is my hair, which is my makeup. I have to see that peace on the outside. And I started looking at old images of myself doing, you know, goth makeup and goth fashion. And I'm not saying I was ugly, but I was cringing when I was looking at those photos. And I was like, oh, I just don't resonate with her. That girl is like part of my trauma and experience of who died with my mom. And I don't want to look like her in the mirror anymore. In fact, for a lot of September and October, I went around not wearing any makeup at all, which was also not balanced, but I didn't know who I was. I was trying to figure that out. It was like, I don't really want to be on this super dark side, but I also don't want to not wear makeup. And I had to like find this happy medium. I was like uncomfortable to be wearing black lipstick every day. Now, will I still wear black lipstick? Sometimes, for sure. Not every day though. I was at peace. I was at peace. And I was getting really upset with, I had some goth friends that were influencers that were, knew what was going on. And you know, they were impressed with the platform that I had built and stuff, because I had some really good financial gains from that. And I'm not going to quit those. Like Cursed Cosmetics, I freaking love Curse. Like I'm not going to quit. You know what I mean? Like that's not going to change with some of them. Some of them it is. And these goth content creators were like, some of them that I thought were my friends were making me feel bad about it. Like they were like, are you sure you're not just having like a mental thing from your parents? Like you've built this big platform up, you know, surrounding being goth, like you shouldn't change it now, you know? And I was like, I need people that support me, not question me and not belittle me and not put me down about it, because I'm an Aquarius moon, which means I think way too into things. That's good and bad, but it also means that I'd planned this a long time ago before I had talked about it. You know what I mean? Like it meant that I was taking this into consideration long before it started. And I never act on a whim. Like I'm not that kind of person where I just snap and I do something. I always think things through. I think about, you know, critical thinking, like what will happen in the scenario. And the outrun is people may not like it, then I'm no longer, you know, this dark image all the time. And I'm just going to keep going back to what Elvira said to me, which is you don't have to be goth all the time to be goth. And you need to find balance in your life so that you don't get burnt out. And I agree. and I was getting burnt out. And I didn't want to get to the point, like, I just started working with Witchwood bags, obsessed with Witchwood bags. I don't have a hat in front of me, but I'm going to start modeling for them. Amazing company. They have the witchiest goth hats. Absolutely in love, obsessed, very chic, high fashion in a way. Some of them, you should see the one I'm looking at right now. But that, so I'm, it's not being eliminated. I feel like I'm just adding to my life. So I am goth and I am alt and I am grunge some days. And most of the time I'm going to be elegant, chic, high fashion is what the goal is. And I started talking about it on TikTok and I started getting some hate. I started getting some hate and it's going to happen and people are going to walk away from, I ended up losing like 300 followers on, you know, Twitter because of it. I don't know. I know what I have to do for myself is make myself happy, and I have to be happy with the person that I'm seeing in the mirror. And currently I am expressing right now who I see visually on the inside. I feel like I'm in my light feminine energy. You know, I talked about this before of the light worker lifestyle, and for a long time, I was really in my masculine energy when I was working for the studios and production. I had to work with a lot of men in suits, men with a lot of money. And I was in way too much of my masculine energy. It was not balanced at all. And so first I started recognizing that. So I kind of moved back into my feminine energy, but it was the dark feminine energy. Now I'm shifting where I've got my masculine and feminine energy like balanced, but now I need to balance out the light and the dark. And it was really weird. About a week ago, after I've already made all these decisions and implemented all of these changes into my life, about a week ago, I was redoing some of my garage because if I do decide to move to another location, I want to make sure it's organized. And I still have a lot of stuff from my mom that I'm just not ready to go through mentally yet. Paperwork and stuff like that. Nothing important, just journals, things like that. So I found a witchcraft book in my mom's stuff. And it was basically about crystals and metal magic. And then she also had written a note from when I was born. And the note had said that she named me Crystal because I was light and delicate, and I was here to change the world, which made me prismatic. And I was like, wow, she never said that to me. So I was really interested that I found that. I always thought she told me basically she named me Crystal because she was a gemologist and she was in diamonds. She was in diamonds and gold for years. And so I just thought she almost named me Diamond and she named me Crystal with a K instead. I was really glad she did that. But I didn't realize there was so much depth into my name. And I found in this book, she had some papers that were folded up in the book. And it was a letter that she had written to her friend. It was like an email thread. And the weird part was I found this just like a week or two ago. This is after I've made this transition where I'm verbalizing going from dark to light. I'm in my light feminine energy. I feel like I've mourned the past version of myself. I've healed. I'm healing. And I'm in a very good place mentally. I'm at peace with my life. I'm at peace with everything around me. And in this letter, my mother had written to a friend in an email thread right when we moved to Vegas, which was like 2014, 2015. So this is years ago. This is like 10 years ago. She wrote in this email thread specifically, I'm not even kidding, I sent Kat a copy of it, so she's a witness. But in the email thread, it says, Crystal has been through the ultimate darkness, but she is of the light. It said that verbatim, and I lost it. I was crying. It was like alignment, when alignment happens, like, oh, I'd been through this last final transition. Like Kat said, you're a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. And I just read this. Now I know you're going to say, well, what did your mom think that you'd been through with darkness? Well, a lot. You know, I had expunged a lot of my family at that point who had struggled with addiction. I had taken on my little cousin, and I was her. She called me mom, and I was her mom. And she went home after 7 years, and I had empty nester syndrome. I was like a mess at that time too. So I've been through some dark stuff, but nothing like what I had experienced with her death. And reading her words was like an actual confirmation of what I had experienced. She went from the ultimate light, ultimate dark into the light because she's of the light. And I was like, oh my God, I was bawling for days. I was bawling for days. It was that confirmation I needed. Like, it felt like my mother had crystallized a letter to me from the other side. And if I would have found it any sooner than now, it would have had no meaning. I mean, it would have had meaning, but not what it is now. And it just was that extra confirmation I needed that I was on the right track and I was doing the right thing. And it's been a journey. It's been an absolute journey. My life's changed a lot since I've been experiencing the other side as much as I have. I know that I can only be the liaison to you guys and tell you what I've experienced and what I see on the other side. And I'll do the best I can with giving examples, and I don't expect anyone to believe me, but I do really thoroughly enjoy sharing this with you guys, sharing my story about the other side. Right before I found that letter from my mom, I had a dream about her. And these dreams, you know, I don't even like to call them dreams because they're so vivid. I know that I was on the other side with her, you know, and in this dream, she's angry. She's angry with me. And it's because this is where I'm going through that transition of dark to light. And I'm still in the mourning process where I'm like, I know that going into my next chapter of life, whatever that is, Ghost Girl Diaries, filming, fashion design, opening my own cosmetics line, maybe getting married again, maybe having children, maybe moving, whatever the next phase of my life entails, I can't take any of this baggage from my old self. It has to stay here. So I was just having a hard week where I was just in those final moments of mourning. And I was crying and sad because I just knew it was time to lay it to rest. And my mom came through in a dream and she said, "You got to get over this." She's like, "You've been sitting there for 2 years, earth time, mourning." And she was like, "You've got to stop. It's getting on my nerves." She was like, "Let me tell you something." Now, and by the way, my mom was very much a tell it as it is kind of person. She wore her heart on her sleeve, but she was a Sagittarius and a Scorpio rising. And there were times that she gave no FUCKs. All right. And this is how she was in the dream. She was like, "I don't have a FUCK to give." She was like, "Crystal, let me tell you what." She goes, "I had the choice to live or die." She goes, "I could have stayed on that planet and healed. I could have." Because she goes, I had the choice with my spirit team to make the reality that I wanted to be in. And she goes, "I chose to go." She goes, "There are miracles to happen every day." She goes, "There are near-death experiences every day. I was knocking on death's door. I could have woke up the next day fine." She goes, "That's why I had full brain activity while you were still running tests while I was on life support." She goes, "Because I hadn't chose if I was going to go or not." She goes, "I chose to die." She said that to me. It was a very startling statement, by the way. I'm getting a little choked up because I woke up the next day and I was like, whoa, that was strong. And she said, "I chose to die." She said, "So now you've chosen to live." And she said, "You've got to release it. Release me, release the past, and release it and move on." And I woke up angry at her because it hurt my feelings that she said something like that to me. Although it's not a shock because my mom was very much tell you how it is kind of person. So I'm not shocked that she was, you know, she used to say, "Paint a picture with your words." That's how people will understand you and be able to communicate with you. Paint a picture. Boy, she painted a picture that night in that dream. I woke up traumatized the next day. And I started researching this through Bashar. And I'm sharing this because I hope this helps someone out there, or someday it will. Even if I help one person, that's all I need to do. I've done my part. I looked up Bashar, and Bashar said he was doing a seminar, and he was in this room full of people. And this woman says, "Hey, Bashar, I I had this really weird near-death experience a couple years ago, and I don't understand how I survived. Can you tell me how I survived? Because she goes, I fell down the stairs really hard, and I remember being in a really big white room floating. And she was like, I thought I was going to wake up with my face bashed in. And she goes, can you tell me what happened? And he goes, you died. And she was like, what? And he was like, yeah, you died. But you came to the other side, you talked with your guides, and you and your guides decided you weren't completed with your human journey yet. So you got to jump into a new reality, and you got to be alive. You got to choose to live again. She's like, so then why did I wake up off the floor with nothing but a bruise? And he was like, because you chose the reality that you came into. And Bashar said that day in the seminar, I'm sorry, my eyes are just watering from crying. Bashar said, he looked in this room, a sea full of people, and he goes, many of you have already died at least once. Many of you have died once. And he goes, but you went to your guides and said, oh, I didn't finish the journey I needed to be in. So you transcended back into a reality where you were still alive and you were fine, which is interesting because I've had a few near-death experiences. One in particular was really bad. I was in a car wreck with my ex, and it wasn't his fault, but we were on this like major highway busy road. And the car had gotten kind of smashed in between two trucks, and we were in a Mustang, and it was like, you know, Mustangs are very small anyways. And I didn't, like, it was like adrenaline. I had jumped out of the car because I had, like, in my head convinced myself that I had, like, died or I was injured. And I jumped out of the car, and I took off running because I was disoriented, and I went running into oncoming traffic. And I don't really remember much other than it felt like someone came up behind me and grabbed me by the shirt and pulled me back. But I'm not gonna lie, I think I may have gotten hit by a car because a car missed me by like that much going high speed, full speed on this major road. So I think I've had some near-death experiences too, but it was just like confirmation. So my mom is saying this, and then I found Bashar saying the same thing. And I like to share that with you guys so that you can use it for your healing journey. And what I'm saying is this, is that our soul, our higher souls have a lot more power than you think. Not only our higher self, who is who we answer to, or just an extension of our higher self, but also us on the other side. Bashar says, we've never left the other side. We are there right now having a dream that we're on Earth. And when we die, we wake up and say, whoa, that was a crazy dream. I just had this huge life experience over there. And I'm saying this to you because I have a lot of people that have messaged me that say, I've had experiences like you. I've had someone murdered. I've had trauma in my life. I've lost a child. And I think that losing a child has to be one of the most horrendous things to go through on this planet, whether it was an accident or it was a murder. I can't imagine burying a child, even if it's an adult child. I think that's got to be one of the hardest things to go through on this planet. But my point of this message is this. We have a choice to live on or cross over. And that can be a hard pill to swallow because it was for me with my mom. Because I'm thinking, why would you choose to die? Why wouldn't you choose to live? Because if that soul, even at 7 years old, says, I've experienced enough, I don't need to come back, then that's it. And it's crazy because on this earth plane, we keep forgetting that, like, you had a soul contact with that child or with my mom. Like, my mom and I, we had a soul contract, obviously, right? But on the other side, she's not my mom. She's a soulmate. On this planet, she's my mom. So we're constantly connected to that. And I think that's how we get stuck in that cycle of trauma where we can't heal and let go because it's like, but that's my mom. Yes, that's your child, that's your mom, but they are still an individual being on the other side, and they still get to choose their own path. They get to choose their own path, and that's a hard pill to swallow because I was traumatized for days when my mom said she chose to die. And my guides said the same thing, that you, at any given moment, even if a most freak accident happens, you have a choice to survive or not. Everybody has that choice. Magic happens. Magic exists. Magic is real. Miracles are real. The universe is magic. Our guides can step in and do sprinkle, sprinkle, make anything happen. But if our self on the other side says, I think I've learned enough as that 7-year-old, or I think I've learned enough as that 42-year-old, or have on, keep going, they don't have to come back. You can end the incarnation there. And it also makes sense to me with Christian, because Christian, I've talked about him in my book and I've talked about him several times. He was my first major boyfriend from like 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. He claimed that he killed himself. He was found with a gun, and they said he was playing Russian roulette with a gun. But Christian came to me in a dream and said that he was killed. And I already knew that he was, because he was living with some really strange, sketchy people, and Christian wasn't the kind to mess around with firearms. But no investigation was done. And in the dream, I was so angry at Christian. I was like, what do you mean you got killed? He's like, let it go, Crystal. I made the choice. I made the choice to go. I could have come back, and I made the choice to go. But at the time when Christian said that to me, I didn't understand. Now I understand. And I think that's what's so hard about this earth journey, is although we incarnate together, not only collectively, it's so crazy because, like, you guys are my personal collective, right? Obviously, like, we're all in the same collective. We've incarnated on purpose together. But then it goes beyond that. We've incarnated as, if you're a millennial, you made that decision with me. If you're Gen Z, you made that decision with them. If you're Gen X, you made that decision with them. You know, there's collectives. You also incarnate with your soulmates, your twin flame, if that's something you believe in, with your family, with your children, with karmics. You make soul contracts. And we're so bonded by that, because that's what tethers us to this earth, is having children and having family and having love and partnerships. But we forget that on the other side, you are you. You are one of one. And that's it. And I wish people knew that, because I think that we could all heal a lot more easy from deaths, from people crossing over. I think we could heal a lot easier if we realized that each soul has the power to do that, you know? And I know some people are going to message me and say, like, oh, well, I lost a child, but they only come to me in dreams as the child. Of course they are, because you're not going to recognize them as their soul self at the age of like 35, which is what I believe everyone is on the other side. Everyone's about the age of 30 to 35. They're not going to come to you at the age of 30 to 35 because you're not going to recognize them. Much like my grandmother. My grandmother comes to me as my grandmother. She doesn't come to me at the age of 35 because I wouldn't recognize her. But also, I don't believe, I believe energy exists as far as like energetic translation, because when my mother, before she died, I had a dream of my grandfather, which is her father. I never met him. He died before I was born. And of course, I've seen pictures, but like if I saw him in a crowd of people, I wouldn't know who he was. And he came to me in a dream before my mom died, and I knew exactly who it was. So energy doesn't lie. So even if your child crossed over and comes to you at the age of 35, you're going to know who they are. You're going to immediately know who they are. But I just wish we knew how much power and control we have there and here. We are very, very powerful beings there, but we are also very powerful beings here. And we incarnate to try to remember our power, not only through manifestation and creating the reality that you want, but through sickness, through wealth, through health. You can literally create anything you want, and just be a good person. You know what I mean? That's where I'm at right now. You know, I won't ever be the same again. I'm not ever just going to be okay. I had to lay my past version to rest. She had to go. And everything along with that image had to go, because there's power in healing. There's power in peace if you do choose to heal. I get a lot of messages from you guys that, you know, share your stories with me. And I think that most of you are trying to share your stories so that you make me feel like I'm not alone. And I'm going to be honest, I love hearing your stories, and I love hearing that I'm triggering your healing. I want you to heal. I want you to carry on. I want you to live. You deserve to live as much as your deceased loved one deserved to live. Don't punish yourself for the rest of your life for the way they died, even if it wasn't your fault. Don't punish yourself because when you cross over and you have a life review like I did, you're going to be kicking yourself for wasting the time on this planet that you could have been doing to change, to make change happen, to heal happen, to heal others. But, you know, I get a lot of messages that make me sad sometimes because I hear stories of trauma that you guys are going through. And I just want to be honest that I don't know how to respond sometimes. I don't know if I am personally in the energy to hear personal stories right now. And it's not that I don't ever want to. It's just that I feel sad and I feel like my cup isn't full to be able to give someone back. Like, of course I do these podcasts, but when I get private messages, I don't really know how to respond. And so this is, I guess, kind of a formal apology of me saying, I'm sorry, I don't know how to respond to you. I do say things back like, stay strong, I love you, you're not alone. But I really can't find the words at this moment because I'm still healing. So that's just me being, you know, brutally honest with you guys that I want you to heal. But I don't know how I can do that on a personal level, hearing your stories, because they make me sad. I don't want any of us to be in pain, but unfortunately, you know, we all incarnated on a planet that's very difficult, and we purposely incarnated here because we can withhold it. We are strong enough. We are powerful beings. Not just anyone incarnates here. I want you to understand that. Bashar talked about this. He said, you know, although there are what's the planet population right now? 8 billion or something. I don't want to quote that until I have it. Planet population, because I just want to make sure that I say the correct word. There's 8.1 billion people on the world clock as of tonight, okay? As of 2023, there are 8.1 billion people. Bashar said this, which is just fascinating. I want to leave you with this little sprinkle for you to think about for critical thinking. Bashar says, yeah, there's 8.1 billion people on this planet. However, there is only about 300,000 oversouls, which is higher selves. So basically what that means is my higher self and your higher self is not only helping us get through this, but there are multiple versions of us from our higher selves. Maybe there's another version of us living in China. Maybe there's another version of us living in Russia. I mean, you do the math. If there's 8 billion people and only 300,000 oversouls, that means a lot of us have incarnations with our higher selves. Multiple of us are here right now. And I just find that to be fascinating, and I believe it. And our higher selves are cool. I'm not going to lie, I've gotten to meet mine. And I don't know, if you guys have questions, you can always leave them below. I guess let's just end on this note of that I went through a lot of powerful changes over the past 2 years of my life, and I have now come out on the other side of healing and light. And you are capable of doing it too. Just remember that I chose to put the work in to heal. I chose to not carry around this baggage anymore. I chose to evolve and go into the evolution process of saying, I went through something extremely unexpected. I took the time to heal so that I could be the best version of myself. I have a quote that Bashar says, and he says, act every day on your highest passion, whatever that is. Even if tomorrow is not your same passion, act every day on your highest passion, whatever it is. And don't forget what a powerful being you are, and you are capable of healing if you so choose to. If you tell yourself that you can't heal, you won't, and you're right. If you tell yourself you can heal, you will, and you are. You have to choose the reality that you're going to be in, and you're never going to go through it as dark as I did. And I made it. I survived. It was hard. I had some lonely, dark nights where I didn't think anybody understood me, and no one ever is going to understand what I went through. And I didn't think I was going to make it. But that was another thing that Bashar says. He says that the plane of existence, how we exist and how we crystallize here on this planet, how everything is real and tangible in time. Like me holding this Christmas tree is real. It's crystallized. He says that in order to have light, you have to go through absolute darkness. That's why the planet right now is purging the way it is. Because if you can go through absolute dark and still make it to the light, that is the definition of existence. And that was just really powerful for me to hear, because I feel that. I went through absolute darkness. I did not think I was going to make it out. And I have nothing but gratitude to really my spirit team for pulling me through, because there were a lot of times I was ready to leave. So you can do it. You can do it. And change is good. Change is normal. We evolve as humans. It's okay to not be the same person that you were yesterday. It's okay to, you know, make decisions about your fashion or your life in general, you know, to get up and leave and move across the country or something crazy. Like, you're not crazy. You just know what your higher self is calling you to do. Just be confident in that, to where you don't need outside noise or outside guidance. Just look within and remember that beam of light that goes through you, and trust it. Trust your intuition. I love you guys. I'll catch you guys next time.